Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
People feed off of whatever energy you have. And if the energy that you have is positive, they're gonna have a positive feeling about it. I always tell people too, when you're in leadership and when you're coaching people, give them your belief in them until they develop it within themselves. When that woman said to me, my most amazing mentor ever, rest her soul, said to me, I believe in you and I know you're gonna be amazing at this. I was like, wow, she must know something I don't. What's she talking about here? You know, and she's like really good at what she's doing. And she's not even gonna train me to do the job and thinks I'll be great at it. Like, I was so like, what on earth? But that belief every day when I we were really, really close. We became very close. And when I interacted with her, I always felt more confident, powerful, capable, excited. So I think we also need to take responsibility for the way we can impact other people.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm so glad you're here with us today because we have an amazing guest with us, Jackie. Jackie is a 68-year-old entrepreneur and a CBD hemp wellness advocate. She lives right here in Denver and is a divorced mom with a 29-year-old daughter, performing arts grad who is chasing her dreams in LA. After years in the corporate world in management, sales, and HR, she launched an executive search business in 99 when her daughter started kindergarten. She successfully did her headhunting gig for 2 decades. In 2019, she was introduced to the opportunity to help launch a new CBD hemp wellness company as a side hustle business to generate another stream of residual income. She dived into researching the industry and discovered the crazy growth projections and how and why quality CBD and hemp deprived products were helping people and their pets physically and mentally, everything from pain to anxiousness to enhanced sleep and mood stabilization. She knows she will never retire as helping people live and feel better and helping others as it's the most exciting, rewarding work she's ever done. All those sayings are so true. Make your passion your paycheck. Choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Thank you so much, Jackie, for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Happy Saturday. It's so good to see you again. Well, I have a long career in the corporate world. That's where I started after college. I had, believe it or not, back in the day when they had employment agencies, when I first came to Colorado, I was the owner of a company that was called Video Placement Services. And it was one of the first ever where we would videotape the candidates and then take the videotape out to the client and show them the candidate. This is back in the like late 70s, early 80s. So this was super kind of innovative and new. So I had a little snippet of my entrepreneur days right after college or about a year after college when I first came to Colorado. And then I ran into a whole bunch of problems with my business partners. It was, you know, we were in our 20s and a lot of immaturity and a lot of weird stuff. And I kind of scooted off into the corporate world. And I played into my background in college was speech communications. And so I played into that going into HR. And I went into a McGraw-Hill division as an HR director and did that for almost a decade. And I kind of got to the point where there were so many people I'd recruited that we had about 350 people in the division. I've recruited so many of them right out of college to come in and come into this company. And even our president had been president since he was 25. And I started feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm going to retire in this building if I don't get out and do something else. I was bored. My own father who'd been with the same company for 30 years. It's like, why would you leave? It's McGraw-Hill. And I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I'm bored. There's nothing new to learn. And so I took a huge, huge step at that point. I was in my 30s, early 30s, mid 30s. And I went into the IT staffing industry knowing nothing about it. It was very new to the world. The staffing world back then was secretaries and labor, and IT was just kind of starting to be a thing. And the woman who hired me, she brought me in as a technical recruiter because that was a little bit of what I'd done at McGraw-Hill. And she said, I know that you're going to be amazing at this. You're the least qualified person I've interviewed, but I just have a feeling about you. And I know you're going to be great, but I won't be able to coach and mentor you in your job at all. You're going to have to figure it all out on your own. And I was like, what? Okay. And so her belief in me, she was the best mentor I ever had, because I had stepped away from 10 years with a company where I could do my job, you know, like the back of my hand. And that's why I was so bored. And I stepped into not only the IT staffing world, which was a new industry, but into a new role. And I knew nothing about technology. And it was wonderful. And I did that for another 10 years. So I was in that world, mostly with that company. I got recruited by a headhunter into another competitive firm. And then I got to where I had my daughter when I was older. I had my daughter when I was 38. I turned 39 4 days after she was born. And I started feeling like I'm not going to have any time with her. I'm in this high stress job. At that point in time, I was running a $10 million business unit. I had, you know, employees. I had a lot of stress and a lot of expectations in what I was doing. And I was one of the few women and I was doing great. But I just started feeling like she's going to go off to college and I'm going to be like, hi, remember me? You know who I am? Kind of a thing. And so I made a huge, huge move in my life. And that was that I decided that I'm going to figure out a way to work from home. I'm going to figure out a way to have time with her, walk her back and forth from kindergarten and figure this out. And I don't even care if I make half as much money, because right now it's important to me. And at the time I was with her dad, and it was like we had plenty of financial stability that I didn't have to be making what I was making. We were kind of living under our means. And so I was like, this is worth more to me. And so I had other headhunters that had tried to recruit me in the time I was in the industry. They wouldn't tell me who the company was. They didn't know a lot about the job. I just felt like, oh my God, I could do this so much better. If I was calling people, why would I be so secretive about who the company was? That's telling me they don't have a good relationship with that client. They're afraid I'm going to go call them. I mean, what is going on? So I stepped away into the headhunting world, and I did it because I was with someone at dinner one night, a senior VP who was trying to recruit me to go to work for her company. And she wanted me to run her business unit. It was a $20 million business unit here in Denver. And it was over my head in terms of the revenue. And she's like, oh, no, you can do this. It's fine. And I got to know her really well. And I said, look, I'm going to start my own search business. I'll go find you somebody to do this job. And you can pay me to do that. I know what you're looking for. You want somebody like me? I'll go find somebody like me. And she said, okay, fine. And that is how it all started. So I launched my search business. My husband was kind of like, where's your business plan? And I was like, my plan is that I'm going to find good, talented people. I'm going to place them with great clients, and they're going to pay me a fee. That's my plan. And it happened. And so in that first year, I was starting to generate more, and then it just sort of snowballed. You place that person used me to find more people for his team. And then he went to another company to where he needed me to help him there. And more people in Denver knew me from the industry. So they, you know, they trusted me. And so I started working with that. And then I had a client who said, we want to open an office in Atlanta. Can you find somebody for Atlanta? And I was like, well, I don't know anybody in Atlanta. No, I don't know anybody in Atlanta. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I'll just call people and find out who's in Atlanta. And so that's kind of how it all happened. And there was a place called on the internet way back then, there was a place called headhunter.net. So I figured if I can just get a hold of a couple of people in this IT staffing industry, they'll know who the good people are in Atlanta. And that's exactly how it became a national focus. It became a national business. So I started placing people with my IT staffing clients nationwide, and it was fabulous. I ran my own business. It was really hard. It was a huge adjustment. I think one of the biggest adjustments you have when you go from being out in the corporate world to being a solopreneur like I was, is it's isolating and lonely. I started feeling like all of my work was on the phone, which is great, but I was used to having the team, coaching people and mentoring people and having the energy of other people. In fact, I even ended up bringing on a couple of people that had worked for me in the corporate world and just started paying them to work from their home. So I'd have somebody on my team to talk to and do all of that and work with them together. And so I did that for, I've had my search business for 22 years now. So I did it for a long, long, long time. And when my daughter went off to college, I started feeling like maybe I should get back out. Maybe I should, not be so isolated. When I was isolated with her, raising her, it was, it didn't feel as isolating. But now all of a sudden she's gone. I'm in a big house. I'm like, wait a minute. And, but then I just kind of kept going and kept going. And so then fast forward, back in 2019, I ended up stumbling into the world of hemp. And it was because I had a friend who had a dog who was very, very sick. Rocky was 14 years old, a boxer, amazing dog, and he was in really bad shape. And she was afraid to take him to the vet. She couldn't really afford it. You know, how you don't know what they're going to tell you. And so my vet said, and I'm in Denver, said, well, off the record, go get Rocky some CBD. And I was like, okay, why is that off the record? I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of that. Where do I get it? And she said, well, you'll need to get it at probably at a dispensary. And I'm like, sitting, I never even set foot in a dispensary. I was like, wait, pot? Are we going, like, what do you mean? Are we giving the dog pot? What are we getting him high? And my friend who owned the dog was very much into using marijuana to help her relax, to help her sleep. And she was, and she's like, oh yeah, it's at the dispensary. I'll get that. And I was like, okay, so we're getting the dog high. I'm okay with that. You know, if that's going to help him, and he's barely moving. So she picks the stuff up. We give it to Rocky. And a couple of days later, this dog's walking around the house, like he's perfectly fine. And I was shocked. I was so stunned. I was like, well, he just must be high and it's masking his pain, and that's fine. And then, you know, how things happen in your world. It was all of a sudden this other person that I knew, totally unrelated to that situation, had been with another direct sales business, which is not my background. Mm-hmm. And I'd known her though for about 7 years, and everything that woman touched turned to gold. And she kept putting out there on social media, I can't wait to tell you guys what I'm doing. I'm with this new company. And I was like, I'm curious to know what she's going to do. And as soon as she then announced what she was doing, I reached out to her and I said, what are you doing? I want to know what you're doing. Well, tell me about it. She goes, well, Jackie, what do you know anything about CBD? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And I kind of told her this story, and she said, this company, they own the farm, they own the lab, they own the distribution. They are vertically integrated, which is almost unheard of. And they're in North Carolina, 5 founders, a husband, a wife, her brother, 2 sixth generation farmers. These guys know what they're doing, and they're going to lead this massive industry. And this industry is going to blow up because a farm bill was just passed that made this legal across all 50 states based on certain parameters. And I was like, whoa, okay. And so then at that point in time, I still didn't understand how CBD worked. So I was like, okay, so let me do a little digging. And I started Googling and researching, and I saw the projections for the hemp industry. But then even more than that, I started reading about how it works in your body. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I don't have pain. I don't have anxiousness. I don't have sleep issues. I probably will never use these products, but I know people that will. And I know that it obviously helps animals. And so I'm going to be the conduit to help people integrate this into their lives. I mean, this could be such an intrinsically rewarding feeling to help people feel better and live better. And this company knows what they're doing, and this industry is going to blow up. So if I'm going to do it, this is the company to do that with. But initially thinking, I won't be a customer. I won't use the products. But then the more I understood how it works in your body, I was like, wait a minute, this is preventative. Everyone is going to be using. The reason this industry is going to blow up is because every man, woman, child, dog, cat, you name it, is going to be taking a daily dose of these hemp wellness products. It's going to change their life. And so I started getting involved, just utilizing the products myself as a user, and noticed things that it was helping me with very subtly, but that's kind of how it works. And so I was dabbling with this little side business. It was my side hustle, and I was doing my search business. And that was in 2019. So the company, the federal farm bill passed in December of 2018. This company didn't want to launch. They'd been in preparation to launch for 2 years, but they did not want to launch until that farm bill passed. So they launched in February of 2019. I joined the following month. So for that month of two, or for that year of 2019, I was bringing on people. I was building a team. I was kind of doing it on the side as my side hustle. And then all of a sudden, it's March of 2020. I had just gone to our first annual conference in Vegas. It was just amazing. You know, we're all kind of in this ground floor situation, in this ground floor industry, very exciting. And we all came back. Half of the people that were at the conference ended up getting sick. None of us knew anything about COVID yet.
Right.
So now we look back and go, oh my God, everybody, a lot of people had COVID. But at the time, a lot of people, you know, and so all of a sudden, now we're in this global pandemic, and I had 6 searches going on across the country, one in Chicago, one in San Francisco, one in Dallas. They were all over, and they just disappeared, like within seconds. My clients were like, we're not going to hire. We're not going to fill these positions. And I was sitting there going, now what am I going to do? You know, I don't have somebody else paying the bills. I don't, what am I doing? And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to have to dive deeper into this little CBD thing I'm doing, because that's all I have. And so it was a blessing and a curse. And the fact that, okay, you know, and now I tell people, God, don't ever think you don't need a side hustle. Like, just don't ever think that. And if you, you know, you want multiple streams of income, mm-hmm. you want something you can get excited about, and you, but you want to be able to feel like if something happens over here, I have this, and we all need that. And especially virtual, a virtual business. This is a business that I run from my phone. I could be anywhere in the world as long as I've got internet access and a phone. That's all I need. I don't carry inventory. They go and shop from my website. Corporate ships to their door. And so this is a seamless, integrate into anything kind of business. Yeah. And thank God I had it, because then I just started really diving into it. And the industry was getting more and more and more robust. So the timing was so perfect. Yeah. So I've been building that, building my team, going through that whole process for the last four. I've been with the company now for 4.5 years. And would I go do this particular business model in a different type of business? I don't think I probably would. My initial getting involved with Green Compass, which is the company I'm partnered with, was who they were, who the industry was, ground floor company, ground floor industry, and something that is going to really be life-changing for others and for me, but for other people, something that, you know, isn't a nice to have. It's going to become a must have for everyone. And it's going to be so therapeutically beneficial. So that's where I sit today. It's really been a bit of a, I've been in a compromise, not compromised, but I've been in a kind of a head game right now with myself, because my search business, I could pick up the phone and gear that up in a New York minute. And I just don't have a passion around that I do around this. And so I really, as I get older, especially, and you start to realize that you want to do what you're passionate, most passionate about. I'm kind of, you know, in that boat of, well, I could still close a couple of, you know, search deals and it could be very lucrative. So what do I want to do? So that's sort of where I'm sitting today. And yet on the other side of it, our business is blowing up. We're getting ready to introduce, every time we've introduced products, they've been first to market. No one else has them. The technology is like leading edge. And we're getting ready to introduce something in July that I don't even know what it is. All I know is that our owners have wanted it since before they launched the company. And so I'm super excited about that. So I get to have something to offer people that could be life-changing for them, like it has been for me. So I get to help people physically and mentally feel better with the products, but I also get to help people become entrepreneurial and help people build another revenue or income stream that can give them a sense of comfort in a very volatile, I mean, right now I'm very much on LinkedIn. And in this whole IT world, and now it's filtered into all these other industries, there have been massive layoffs going on, massive layoffs. Like, I've never seen this since the .com, .bomb days of the 90s. In fact, it wasn't even as bad as what I'm seeing right now. Highly educated, experienced, very professional, competent people going months and months and months not being able to get reengaged after massive layoffs. Yeah. And it's frightening. And I just feel like I need all of those people to understand, hey, come on, this is the investment for this is so little. And this is something that you can be doing. And when you get reengaged, integrate it. It's so, you know, it's seamless to integrate this. So, yeah.
No, I appreciate you sharing your journey and all the ups and downs and everything that we'll go through right now. But, you know, I think it's really important to diversify your income. I was just having this conversation, me being an owner of three businesses and being able to have those different incomes are really important because you just never know what can happen. Like even with how you're mentioning about the layoffs that have been happening too, because that can really be really detrimental to a family financially and just being able to know there's so many resources out there and opportunities. You just have to find what works best for you and what can really be easy to integrate. I know that's what I do with my health business as well, but I love that you are so passionate about what you do. And I'm really curious because you've been in different industries, what transitioning first from the corporate world to launching your own executive search to now venturing in the CBD industry. How do you identify these opportunities to make successful transitions from one to the next?
I think when I was in the world of, when I was with McGraw-Hill initially, right? And I became an expert in what I was doing because I'd been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. But it was always important to me, and I've always told people this in my search business, it's like, no matter what you're going to do, the number one thing you want to find wherever you're going and whatever you're going to do, you need to seek out mentors. You need to find people who've been there, done that. And then you need to look at what they're doing. And maybe you don't adopt and adapt to everything, but obviously they're where you would like to be. So they got there somehow and they got there knowing things I don't know yet. So when I left McGraw-Hill and I got into the IT staffing world, my boss, who was like, I can't help you with technical recruiting. I can help you with technical sales and I can help you run a business unit, but I can't help you with technical recruiting. So the way that I started learning technical recruiting was the technical consultants that I was trying to recruit and them training me during interviews. Believe it or not, I would ask, and it became my signature move. And everyone, I ended up training other people in the company across the country because it was like, they kind of think I know these answers, but I don't. So I'm asking these technology experts, right? Questions about the technology. Help me understand the difference between this and this. And so they're explaining it. And the people that I liked and that I glommed onto and that I wanted to have as our consultants that I wanted to recruit and bring into the company I was with were the people who taught me through analogy, didn't make me feel stupid, weren't condescending, and were helping me learn not being a technology expert. And I thought, you know what? Our clients out there, when they're bringing in these consultants and integrating them into their staff, they don't need some arrogant, condescending consultant. They need somebody that's going to mix well with the rest of the people, that isn't going to be a know-it-all. And so I ended up having this high success rate of the consultants being so successful and the clients loving them because they're like, oh my God, they have the best soft skills. They communicate really well. And it's so funny because a lot of those same people are like, I thought when you were asking me that, Jackie, you knew the answer. I'm like, no, you were helping me learn. I was like, okay, now I understand how this differs from this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I sought out those guys to train me, those guys and gals. And then when I got into the search business, I was like, okay, I know this IT staffing world like the back of my hand, but it's been years since I had my little employment agency out of college and things have changed significantly. And this is not an employment agency. This is headhunting. This is going out, you know, people say, you know, like when I was in my search business, they're like, oh, there's like a lot of people out of work. You probably have a lot of candidates. And I'm like, no, I never have any candidates. When I start a search, I have to then go find people that aren't even thinking about leaving where they are. My clients want the people that are passive, that are happy where they are, doing really great, Yeah. Wouldn't even think about making a move. And then all of a sudden they get a call from Jackie and they're like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, tell me more about that. And then, you know, hoping that I can get them interested.
Yeah.
So it's just a very different animal. And so there was a woman who was in like her 70s who had tried to recruit me over the decade that I was in the industry. And I really liked her. She was always, like I was saying earlier, you know, she would tell me who the company was right away. I just loved her style. And I called her up and I said, I'm doing this search. After I you know, got the first search with my senior VP that I'd had dinner with, and I was going to go find somebody to do the job she wanted me for, I called up this woman and I said, I need you to be my mentor. I need you to help me learn what you're doing, what works, what doesn't. And so I think you have to get out of your own way and you have to like let go of it, put your ego, check it at the door and be like, you know, I have my knowledge and expertise, but it's not this, it's not in this. And she was wonderful because I had in that first year of 1999, when I started my business, I had a really rough end of that year. My father died unexpectedly. And it really threw me for a loop and I was really going great in my business. And then that just sort of really set me back. And it set me back in a couple of ways because my mom had died when I was 27. So I started grieving the loss of her again, which is very common, I guess, when people lose both parents. So I was in a real slump. And this woman said to me, I said, I feel like I'm just going to have to go back into the corporate world. She goes, Jackie, the magic and beauty of what you're doing right now is all you need to do is pick up the phone. And I learned, it was so powerful for me to realize that I can generate revenue per me, like not attached to a company, not anything, just what I do. And I just, it'd been like a couple of months, I'd been sort of checked out and I did, I just picked up the phone and all of a sudden it's ringing and things are happening. And it was super, super energizing and cool and powerful to know that that's how that works. So I always tell people, and I told them my search business, I said, if you're looking at two different opportunities and they look very similar, find your mentor. Find the place where there's somebody there that you think is going to really bring value to you beyond your basic things that this company, that this job offers you. And it was kind of a mixed message because I would always say to them, you have to decide based on the company first because people leave. So don't ever just be like, oh my gosh, I want to go to work at this company because I interviewed with this person I love. We really vibed and I want to work with them because for all you know, they're putting their notice in tomorrow because somebody like me recruited them and they're not telling you that yet. But I always say, seek out, you know, when you're going through your interview process, people that impress you. And when you get into that organization, seek them out. Hey, I need to learn about more about this. You seem so knowledgeable. I just really want to absorb like a sponge what you're doing, how you're doing it. And people are flattered by that. People have an innate desire to coach and mentor. We do it with our kids. We do it with our friends when we can. And so when it's very flattering for someone to come to you and say, I really want to learn from you. I really want to, you know, understand how you do what you do, what helps you be successful, kind of like what you're doing in your podcast and talking to people. So I when I got into this world of direct sales, this was a whole, I had a very kind of a nose in the air feeling about direct sales. Like, oh, that's for people who can't get real jobs or, you know, people that, I don't know what I thought. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was very judgy about it. And what I've come to discover about this particular business model is the beauty of it is so, it's so collaborative. Like you can't move up unless you're grabbing the arms of other people. In the corporate world, there are people that want to keep you down. They're afraid you're going to take their job. That, you know, there's all kinds of weird stuff. I've had more training in the 4.5 years I've been with this company than I did in 3 decades in the corporate world. Like it's insane. And so in that though, looking for people in this world that are killing it, that are doing really well. And not that you're going to do every single thing that they do, but you're going to pick and choose different things that feel authentic and good to you. And you're going to incorporate those into your little toolbox. And so I think that other people are first and foremost what provides you the strongest, best tools. Mm-hmm. And then after that comes technology and software and, you know, other kinds of things. But first and foremost, it's, we're in a world where people always seem to forget that this is a people business. If you're selling anything, mm-hmm. and or you're providing a service or product, or even if you're in a role where you have to, like in HR, I wasn't selling anything, but I was selling the company. And I was selling people on why our policies mattered. And I was selling people on why they needed to get along with each other in their, you know, in their jobs. And right. No matter what you're doing, you have to have an ability to communicate with and glean from other people. And people skills are, you know, when I got out of college and my dad was like, what are you going to do with communications? And I was like, I don't know, it wasn't very specific, was it? And then I got into the world and I went, wow, I'm going to help other people learn how to communicate a little better. That's what I'm going to do. Because yeah. A lot of people don't know how to do that.
100%. You do not learn that. I learned that through psychology, in the field of psychology, right? Working with people all the time and communicating, yeah. And learning what's being said, what's not being said. But, you know, I love that you are helping so many people in so many ways that you have throughout your journey. And I know you mentioned too, the rewarding aspect of just helping people in general through CBD and the products. How important is it to build a strong sense of purpose in entrepreneurship? And how can entrepreneurs align with their businesses, with their personal values and their passions?
I think a lot of people sacrifice so much when it comes to doing what they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Or the woman said in the conference, she's talking about entrepreneurship. And she said, find something that interests you and that you're passionate about and figure out a way to dabble in that in some way. You're not going to quit your job like immediately and do whatever. But her comment was, if you're doing a job you're not that passionate about and you're doing a good job, imagine what you would be doing in a job you couldn't wait to get going with, that you get up in the morning and you're energized because you're so excited about it. Imagine what your success would look like then, right? And I think that so many people are like, you know, I can't leave this job. I'm not that happy with it. I'm kind of miserable, whining and complaining a lot. And it's like, life is too freaking short. I learned that when my mom was gone at 48 out of the blue. Like, you're here, you don't know. So I think that people have to think about, what are the things that get them really excited and energized? And I think you can do that through so many different ways. You could do it. I'm a huge movie buff. I'm a huge visual arts person. I'm into arts and entertainment. If you're watching, let's say, a movie and someone is doing something that sort of sparks you, it's like, God, if I could have started over, I would love to have a bookstore, or I would love to, you know, like all those things that you feel like, I would love to have that kind of be in that type of work. And so I think you have to really start paying attention to that. And you have to start paying attention to things that you see that are needed that aren't available in abundance. So if all of a sudden, for me, with this whole CBD world, it's like when I started with this industry, the Farm Bill had just passed. And so everything was just starting to happen. Well, now we fast forward. Now there's over 4,000 CBD hemp brands out there in an unregulated industry where you don't know what you're getting. And it's really not safe. It's not, it can be a little dangerous. And so it's like you find things where there's a need, and then you align yourself to the place where you think you have the best ability to fulfill that need. And that could be the company, the products, the service, the, you know, everything combined. But I think you have to really assign to yourself the importance of finding your passion and finding some sort of purpose so that what you do matters to you. And when people know it matters to you, they start to think, maybe this should matter to me. Like, maybe Jackie telling me all about CBD and helping me understand how this works in my body, maybe I should try this. I am starting to read some stuff about this. I know it's, you know, maybe there's still studies out that they need to do or whatever. There's testimonials up the wazoo now. And yeah. People are like, you know what? She kind of knows what she's talking about. Maybe I should check it out. And I tell my team this all the time. I'm like, if you're not sure about what you're doing, people you're talking to are going to know you're not sure about it.
Yes.
Whether you're not sure about it from the product or service side of it, or you're not sure about it because of the business model. Like, you know, people that come into direct sales, they're like, I feel kind of, you know, like I felt initially of, you know, I don't know, this industry, it's got a bad rep. And yeah. I could go on for days, and I won't, about why that is, which if people mm-hmm. really understood and got under the covers, they would realize that's such an undeserved reputation. But it's like, if you're not confident and proud of what you do, of what who you represent, how you're making a difference, then you won't be successful, because people are going to see your tentativeness. They're going to see your doubt. People feed off of whatever energy you have. And if the energy that you have is positive, they're going to have a positive feeling about it. I always tell people too, when you're in leadership and when you're coaching people, give them your belief in them until they develop it within themselves. Because it's just like when that woman said to me, my most amazing mentor ever, rest her soul, said to me, I believe in you and I know you're going to be amazing at this. I was like, wow, she must know something I don't. What's she talking about here? Like, you know, and she's like really good at what she's doing. And she's not even going to train me to do the job and thinks I'll be great at it. Like, I was so like, what on earth? But that belief every day when I enter, we were really, really close. We became very close. And when I interacted with her, I always felt more confident, powerful, capable, excited. So I think we also need to take responsibility for the way we can impact other people and do it. Do it whenever we can, you know, and kind of, you know, parlay that belief in somebody into their mindset to where they go, well, Jackie thinks I can do this. Maybe I can, you know, it's like, if you don't learn anything from other people, learn how everything they did relative to you helped you and impacted you, and then mimic that to other people.
Exactly. And I love that you brought up the mentorship, because I do think it's so important to surround yourself with people that are positive, that are seeing the potential that you might not see in yourself, because sometimes it's really easy to see it in other people, of that spark or that belief, and bestowing that upon somebody too, for them to really see that. And I love that you were able to have such a powerful mentor to really see that potential in you, even though you're like, I've never done this before, but right. You had the skill set, you had the personality, you had the drive and the passion to help people in that capacity, but continuing to emerge that into the other industries that you're in and have been in. And I know you mentioned the importance of research and discovering the growth of potential CBD and how it has grown mm-hmm. in the industry. What advice would you give entrepreneurs looking to identify emerging markets or trends, and how can entrepreneurs stay ahead of the curve and seize new opportunities?
You know, if someone said to me, where do you think the best opportunity is today relative to industry? I would hands down say health and wellness. And I would say it because, so not just because that's the space that I'm in. I mean, I'm in a even more niche piece of that, right? But we are living in a society of people that are fed up with big pharma. They don't trust the FDA. When you're putting things through the FDA that are, you know, opioids that are making people addicts and killing people, the confidence and the trust in some of these institutions starts to wane. And when you see an ad on a commercial on TV and 90% of it is side effects of some medication, people are done. We're living longer. And so it's like people want to live longer and be healthy. And so I think health and wellness, whatever realm that might involve, and something that impacts health and wellness. So it could also be things relative to the environment, that kind of stuff. So I was talking to a friend the other day about our parents when we were growing up, and they were all like out dancing and partying on the weekends and like, you know, could care less where we were. It was like, we just checked in for dinner. You know, you didn't have all the way that we're raising our kids today, smoking, drinking, not eating well. You know, all those kinds of things. And then you look at people now, and people are taking better care of themselves. And they're starting to look at what they're putting into their body. I mean, before I was involved with Green Compass, I used to be very like a produce section. I'd be like, oh, organic bananas. I mean, really, like, am I going to pay that much more for an organic banana? I mean, organic, shmorganic, like, what is that really? It's just a way to charge me more money, right? Because I wasn't knowledgeable. I wasn't educated. Now I go in there and I know, our farmers are sixth generation farmers on a farm that's been around since the 1800s that's been USDA organic certified for other crops before hemp for a quarter of a century. So I understand, which is why we were able to get our USDA organic certification before anyone else, or very few ahead of us for hemp when they finally decided to certify it. So I think that in the health and wellness space, whether it's supplements, whether it's hemp, whether it's things that are going to impact the ecology of things and green, though I think all of that is things that people are starting to care more and more and more about. And so if I was going to seek out, if I was seeking out a space, I would jump into hemp just because of where it's going. In all my years, I've never seen these kinds of growth projections and this fast ever. Like, you know, this industry, when I started, this was a $500 million industry. It's over $7 billion, and it's been 4.5 years, and it's projected to be over $20 billion in the next three. I mean, that's how fast this is happening. And when you look at that and you go, wow, I don't remember any company, any industry doing this fast. So I guess I would just say, pull that back, and you have to go back to what you're excited and passionate about. If that isn't your area of passion or excitement, then I think you look at things like, let's say that your passion and excitement is around people really exercising their minds more or becoming more creative. So maybe you want to go open a sip and paint kind of a place, because that's something that's going to get people to doing something they're passionate about, and you get to exercise your creative juices. So I think you have to go inside yourself and figure out what makes me happy, what makes me smile, what do I see out there that makes me feel good, and how could I parlay that into, put that into something that could be revenue generating, right? Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid. You know, here's the thing too. I always tell people, and people are like, wow, you stepped away from that. It was doing really well in the corporate world. And they're like, you know, that's a big risk to walk away from them. And as a headhunter, I sit there and I think, it's not. You can always go back. No one can take away what you've already done. Like, now that you decide to go venture into something way outside of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. if that doesn't work out for you, your resume doesn't look blank now. You right. have all of that stuff that you've already done. And you can spin that to somebody in an interview process and say, look, you know, I stepped out of my comfort zone because I just felt like if I didn't, I wouldn't know for sure. And, you know, there's a way that I coach people all the time about interviewing and that kind of thing. I mean, first and foremost, people say to me, well, okay, tell me what I should be aware of or know for this interview. And I'm like, be aware of who you are. Be aware of who you are and what you want. And what's important to you and what you need. And when you go into that interview, you are interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. If you're not, your goal isn't to get a job offer. Your goal is to find the right place. Exactly. And so if that isn't the place for you, and in the interview process, they're like, oh, I don't like what she said there. And good. Because you don't want to work there. So you don't ever want to be who you're not, unless you're going to go in, pretend to be this person, and now they hire you, and now you got to be that person the whole time you work there. Or they go, whoa, what happened? That's mm-hmm. not who I'm hired, right? It'd be like a marriage. You know, I'll pretend like I'm this way, and then when we, you know, when we seal the deal, I'll show them my true colors, see how that works.
No, you don't want to do that. But I love that you said that too, because I think a lot of people go into certain things acting as somebody else, but realizing when you're just yourself, you can really be able to identify, okay, this is the right company for me. I'm asking the right questions just as much, because I have a recruiting business now too. And I think a big part of that is I want to make sure it's the right fit for you and for them. I want to make sure that bridge is gapped. And a lot of times it's not, and that's totally okay. You're not losing anything. You now know, have the information, and you can move on with that. And I love that you said that, because I do think a lot of people sometimes are scared to be themselves. But going back to what you said about the passion behind what you're doing, and believe in, it's more than just a paycheck. It's what you love doing. It's showing up as such. What are some of the steps that entrepreneurs can take to identify their true passions and translate them into successful business ventures? I know you kind of touched on it, but how can they really align those passions with what they're doing?
probably a part of that outside of what I've already said, just in being more cognizant of things that get you excited, things that you see, that you read, that you hear about, that other people are doing. So if I hadn't figured this out the way I figured it out, I might go to people that know me well and say, what if you just saw me doing something other than what I do? What would you see me doing? People that know me, people that have exposure to me, that know what I get excited about and what makes me happy, and say, you know, I could really see you doing this, this, and this. And so I guess I would also then survey people around you. So survey environments, survey, you know, industries, look at emerging industries. You can go in and you can Google, what are the most emerging industries right now, 2023, and things are going to pop up. I mean, it could be a good starting point, because as you're looking at each of those, dive into those, see what they're all about, and then start seeking out people that you might know, or people that you know that might know others that are in that realm, that are doing that type of work. You know, when it comes to research, you're just peeling back the onion all the time. I mean, I've been so engaged in research more than I have been in decades since being in this CBD space, because I knew nothing about it. And that was the most exciting thing about it for me, was that, oh my gosh, I'm learning again. I don't have to be the expert. There aren't even any experts in my industry yet. There are no real experts. Everything is still being discovered. And so I get to learn along with everyone else. I might know more than this person, but this person over here might know more than me, but nobody knows it all. Because there's just so much we have yet, you know, there's 120 cannabinoids in one hemp plant, and we at this point know about 7 of them. So, you know, there's so much more that's going to be discovered. So I think that you have to, check your ego at the door, understand that there's so much that you can learn and need to learn, and figure out the different tools and resources to utilize to do that. You can even go in to, I use LinkedIn a lot. I mean, that is my Bible for my search business. I didn't use it in my corporate world, but in my search business, that was it. And so anytime I needed to know anything about anything, I could go in and I could just run any kind of a, company, industry, whatever. And I could, and that's me though. I could pick up the phone and call somebody I've never talked to before and say, hey, I discovered you on LinkedIn and I want you to tell me more about what you do. I just think what you do looks so fascinating. Do you have a few minutes, or, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and people, again, I think that people like to share. They like to share information. They like to feel like they're helping another person in any way, shape, or form that they can. I mean, most people have a desire to be needed and to be appreciated for what they know or what they can do. And so it's very flattering. I think people are often so reluctant to reach out to people that they don't know. I am in a world where that's always been part of my job. Like, my job has always been talking to people I've never talked to before. Way back when I was at McGraw-Hill and I go meet somebody in the lobby and bring them back to my office to interview them, I don't know them. This is the first time I've ever talked to them in my life. Mm-hmm. And so that comes so easy and natural for me. But it doesn't for everyone. It comes easy, I'm sure, for you. But for those who it doesn't come easy for, I think I would say to them, say that. Like, be genuine. Just be like, look, I was reluctant to even call you because this is so out of my comfort zone. Yeah. But do you have a few minutes? You know, like, tell them how it's making you feel taking this action you're taking with them. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes even that alone makes them want to, like, help you not feel so uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of people do struggle with that, especially in direct sales and starting your own business too, because you're stepping outside your comfort zone. You might have been taught, like I was when I was little, like, go to school, get a good job, and then you'll be fine for life. And
right.
Not the reality anymore. A lot of people are realizing it's about multiple streams of income, being able to be financially fit as well, especially if you want a family and things along those lines, but just to kind of live above means at any point. But I think the biggest thing too is there's a lot of challenges in that. And I'm curious, what have been some of the challenges you have faced when you were building your first business and then also now for direct sales?
When I started Higher Impact, my search business, when I started, and it's H-I-R-E, I thought that was stuff. I'm kind of a play on words. I love play on word names. I actually at one point, because I've helped a lot of friends name businesses, I was going to start a business called Buy, B-U-Y, any other name. And I was going to just charge people for me to come up with their business name, right? Like, we have a hot dog place here in Denver called Mustard's Last Stand. It's so cool, right? So anyway, but with Higher Impact, I started Higher Impact in the spring of 1999, making more money in my first year of my search business than I had been making in my other job that I thought there's no way I'll get anywhere near. So I was thinking, whoa, okay, this is amazing. I mean, like, you place somebody, someone writes you a check for 30 grand and you go, whoa, hold on, how many of these do I need to do, right? And so everything was just going great, but then my father died and that whole thing set me back. So then I had to rebuild. And because I had that mentor who was like, just pick up the phone, you know, no one knows you've been gone for 2 months. You've been busy. Just pick up the phone, talk to people, whatever. And so then I got it all charged back up again. And everything was going great and going great. And well, then we had 9/11. And 9/11 was almost sort of like, not like a global pandemic, but necessarily, but everything stopped again. So my business was, you know, like out of the blue. So I had a gal that was working for me. I couldn't continue to have that. I had to regroup. I had to kind of roll back a little bit. Typically, I might have 3 or 4 searches that I'm doing. And if I can close 3 of the 4, great, right? I would only engage on things that I really felt confident that I could just get done. So I had to scale back, kind of reevaluate, not have such high expectations so that I wouldn't get discouraged. So you have to tell yourself these things like, okay, Jackie, things are going to be slow. You're going to need to cut back, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was a big setback. And then things started to pick back up. I think that it's always sort of a thing of anything that happens is not a forever thing. There's going to be something that happens after that happens. So you can't control that that happened, but you can help to drive what happens next. And that was sort of my mentality was, okay, oh my God, we had this horrible thing happen, 9/11. It was awful. And my business is in the tank. And okay, I'm not shutting the door. I mean, right off the bat, people that are married, they go, divorce is not an option, right? That's so smart. Cause it's like, then we're going to work through anything. I was like, shutting my business is not an option. Shutting the doors is not an option for me. I want this flexibility. I want to have more time with my daughter. I want these things. I'm going to figure it out. And so I think that when people get more frustrated, a lot of times it's because they put such heavy expectations on themselves that they don't cut themselves any slack. And so they see it as failure if they're not at the same level of success that they had before something happened, if that makes sense. Yes. So I think that it's always a matter of, you know, tomorrow's another day. I mean, there's so much to that. It's like, this is where it is right now, but this is not where it has to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So I think that in my CBD business, I'm in a rebuild mode. I had someone I brought into the business. She was never done this direct sales before. And it took her a while to really kind of get her wings and get her business going. And then she just took off and she was having phenomenal success, which was so rewarding. That was one of the most rewarding feelings I've ever had and in my life. And then she ended up leaving. And then a lot of people that she had brought in left with her because their relationships were strong with her and kind of like changed the landscape of my business. And so I became in this rebuild mode and I'm just going to stop doing this. This isn't for me anymore. Or you say, okay, you know what? When I started with Green Compass, I didn't have anybody. I didn't have a team. I didn't have anything going on. So I've been there before. You know, so yeah, things have dropped back, but they'll pick back up. And it's all up to me to be in the right mindset to make that happen. And so I think that mindset is so powerful. You have action items and to-do lists and all these things and planners that you buy or whatever. 90% of it is your mindset. And if your mindset is where it needs to be, so many other things can fall into play. And so I guess I just say for people that are having any kind of setbacks in an entrepreneurial kind of a scenario is to give themselves grace, to realize that where it is right now is not where it has to be. You're further along than you were when you started. And so just always build on that and know that there's ebbs and flows. It happens all the time.
Absolutely.
And I hope that answers your question, but.
Yeah, no, it does. And I think big part of that is understanding that there's going to be a lot of roads or blocks in the road and understanding how do you overcome those? How do you see that obstacle as an opportunity to shift things or tweak things? Because I think that is the journey of entrepreneurship is not linear. It is really up and down all around. But I love the examples you gave too, of just how you had to rebuild and you had to start fresh, something that you had no information about prior, except trying products and putting yourself out there and making those conversations, building those relationships. Because I think that's a huge part of entrepreneurship as well as that.
Absolutely.
Just getting to know people, getting to know what they're up to. Because I think a lot of times, especially in direct sales, like being in it myself too, a lot of people think you're just trying to sell them something. But I think understanding too, it's that relationship and we're here to help people in any capacity, whatever the business is, it doesn't matter what capacity it is. I know you mentioned that you have a daughter. And when I was introducing you, I mentioned that as well. But I would love to know, what was it like building your business and also motherhood and integrating the two?
If you ask Ashley, she's 29 now, right? Yeah. So when I started my search business, it was when she started kindergarten, you know, they're in the half day thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I could walk her, you know, several blocks away to her little school. And then I could stop, you know, midday, go grab her, come back. And it was wonderful. I mean, I loved it. She loved it. We had all this time together. Fast forward. And it was sort of, as she got older and she's like, well, you're always here. Right. 6 weeks after I had my daughter, I was back in my corporate high stress job. And she was a month early. So she was tiny. And we'd spent a week in the hospital before that, during that time after I gave birth. And so now I've got this little teeny tiny baby in, I've got her in daycare. I've got her in preschool and I'm getting her into kindergarten. And that's why I was feeling like, God, I just, you know, I'm working all the time. I felt like, you know, driving through the McDonald's line, I'll have an Ashley, you know, like she was always like the last one that they're like practically threatening to fire me if I don't pick her up on time the next time. And so I was always kind of running ragged with all of that. And it was really, really, really stressful. And so when I started my search business, one of the things that I told myself is that I don't have to do as great as I did in my corporate job. I don't have to make as much money. I want more time with her. So I'm going to balance this out a little more. And I was able to do that. Like I had more control over my schedule. I had more ability, you know, in the search business, a lot of the things that I was doing, I didn't have to do them in the middle of the day. I could be messaging people and reaching out to people when she's in bed, you know? So it gave me all of this great kind of freedom and flexibility. I still had to work hard, but it was on my terms and it was on my, you know, I can only take on as many clients as I was ready to take on at any given point in time. So all of a sudden, it wasn't everything being thrown at me. It was me deciding what I'm going to embrace and at what point in time. So I really loved that. And I think that as you're kind of balancing these lives that we, especially as women, have to figure out how to balance, I think that it comes back to the idea of make sure that what it is that you're doing when it comes to your work is something that gives you some sort of reward and joy, because you're sacrificing a lot of other things doing what you're doing. So that is where, you know, when people are like miserable in their jobs and they hate their jobs, I'm like, oh my God, you hate your job, you're miserable at it, and it's taking away from all of your time with your kids, or it's taking away from all of these other things in your life or hobbies that you love. Like, wow, you're giving so much power to something that gives you nothing back. Yes, it keeps a roof over your head. And yes, that's important. But going back to what I was saying, find something you're passionate about and the money will come. Like you can't help but generate revenue when you're putting stuff out into the world that is so, where you have so much passion and so much energy. Like it just, I don't know. That sounds very esoteric and like, yeah, right, Jackie. But it's true.
Very true. I think it's important to remember that too, because you could be making millions and billions of dollars, but if you are so unsatisfied, that's going to show up in so many ways, yes, in relationships, in your health, so many, yes, factors. If you are not doing what you are driven to do, but also, right, there has to be joy around it.
Right.
Like, there's a couple percentage that you don't like doing for business, and I can attest to that, but it has to get done in order to move forward. But I think the bigger part is, it goes back to what we've been talking about, health and just relationships. And I think that's, yep, the bulk of everything, no matter what industry you're in, what you're doing.
Yes.
But when you take care of your health first and foremost, you can have better relationships because you feel better, you look better, you're doing everything you need to do.
Yeah.
And being able to continue to live your life to its fullest and wanting to do that.
I think that you, like, because when I was in the IT staffing world, when I left McGraw-Hill and I was in that world, I was so energized and passionate and excited about, mm-hmm, that. So I had the level of success that I had. I loved it. I couldn't wait to get to work. I couldn't wait to work with my team. I couldn't wait to go meet with clients. I loved everything about it. It was stressful, mm-hmm, because I had I had quotas and expectations, and I had to put those on my team and all of that, but I loved it. But when I got to where the passion wasn't as strong, mm-hmm, then all of a sudden you realize you're sacrificing more. And it was the same feeling I had when I was walking down the halls of that McGraw-Hill division. And I remember the day. I remember I was walking down the hall and I said hi to our building manager, and there were about 10 other people that I passed in the hall that I brought into the company right out of college. And then I saw our president, who'd been the president since he was 25, and now he's 40 something. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have John, the building manager, like, expand these hallways so that I can get down this hall in my walker. I'm going to be in, you know, and I started feeling like, I don't want that. Like that, I don't want that. I'm not excited anymore. I'm bored. I'm not getting a lot out of this. And it was very scary. It was, you know, in HR, we always tell people, don't ever leave a job until you secure your other job.
Yeah.
And I tried to do that, but I felt like I was cheating on my spouse because it was my first, you know, career position out of college. And, mm-hmm, I felt really like slimy that I was talking to companies while they were giving me a paycheck. And so I quit before I even knew what I was going to do. And my own boss at the time was like, well, why don't you just stay here until you figure out what you want to do? Like, I was giving her my notice and I said, because I won't push myself to find it. If I stay, then I'll just stay forever. Then I will have to get the halls extended, you know? And so I think that you have, as you're like, oh, and going back to what we're talking about though, as far as my daughter. And so when I was in the IT staffing world and I was loving what I was doing, my daughter comes into me in the kitchen and she's like, Mommy, and she's very little. And she's like, Mommy, will you stop doing the dishes? And can we have a tea party? And I'm like, okay, cool. Right. I mean, you know, yeah, fine. So I sit down and she sits down and she's like pouring me her little tea. She's got her little tea set and she's sitting there and she's like giving me my imaginary tea. And then she goes, you know, would you like one lump or two? She's trying to give me, I don't know what she was doing. And then, and then she pulls out this little note, legal pad, because she sees me with this all the time. And she goes, so how many consultants do you think that you're going to need for this project? And I go, what? She goes, I thought we were having a tea party. And she goes, well, Mommy, it's a business meeting. Because that's what she saw, wow, me doing, right?
Right?
And so I think when your kids see, and she was so excited about it.
Yeah.
So it was like when your kids see you, they know when you're doing, mm-hmm, something you're excited about. And so it filters into them. Like, they're proud of you. They're happy for you. They want to feel the way you're feeling. And it was really an eye opener because I was like, oh my God, am I working too much? Like that my kid thinks that, you know, that this is how we play, is we have a business meeting. But I thought, well, my business is sort of my play. And, right, and I want my daughter to feel like what she does in her, whatever profession she's in, I want it to be something that she's passionate about, that she, yeah, loves, that it is hard to distinguish between play and work. And so it was a real eye opener though. I was just like, yeah, this is a business meeting. I'm like, aren't we having a tea party? It was so funny.
That is hilarious. But
yeah,
I think, you know, it's a testament too of when you're doing something, children are watching, they're very intuitive,
yes,
I think, and they'll tell you how it is. Clearly she did. She was like, all right, like, this is how many consultants we need.
Yeah.
But
it was like, okay, what are you going to need for this project? I was just like, oh my God. All right. Yeah. And I think that they, you know, it's like anything, they're so ultra aware.
Yeah.
More than we ever give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not happy with your job, you're right. It is going to permeate the atmosphere. They're going to see you coming home from work and being down or needing time to regroup because you're just stressed from whatever it is you've been doing. And they feed off of you. And mm-hmm. so they're going to start having those kinds of feelings and those uneasiness things until they see you looking happier or looking more mm-hmm. fulfilled. Then that gives them a sense of safety. It gives them a sense of comfort. So I think that when we're talking about finding your passion, that's mm-hmm. such a great message to send to your children.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No,
it and wanting them to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Because you want them to enjoy what they're doing. Like,
right.
We have one life to live and just being able to live it to its fullest.
Exactly.
I'm really curious with all the information and just everything that you've had to endure on your entrepreneurial journey, good and maybe not so great, but what have been maybe your top two tips that you could give entrepreneurs listening right now?
I would say you have to really learn how to work with your boss, and your boss is you. I always say to people, oh my God, my boss can be such a bitch. Oh my gosh, she's just so demanding sometimes, right? Like that. And other times she's fine if I just don't do anything for like a few days. And so you have to manage yourself. And especially when you're coming from the corporate world, you have bosses and they have bosses. You have things you've agreed to that you're going to deliver, that things are that are going to happen. And so it's not, there's always more pressure on you to perform. And there's more expectation on you that and fear in a lot of ways, like, well, God, if I don't, then I won't have a job. So there's all of these different things that come from having someone that you report to. Now you're reporting to yourself. So it becomes a matter of you've got to have some level of organization and time management to this, because if you're not that disciplined, then, and that's why a lot of people, they try to walk away from the corporate world and they become entrepreneurs, but their mentality is still as an employee.
Yes.
And that is what trips them up, because it's like, now you need to almost imagine that you started a business and you hired Jackie. Like, what do you expect Jackie to do for your business, right? Separate it into two different entities. You know, yeah. You've got this business. Now your first employee is, you know, your name and what is it that person needs to do so you can keep your doors open, so you can keep operating, so that you can pay your bills, so that all of these things can happen. And also so that you don't work her to death, and so that you don't, so that she doesn't get burned out, and so that she isn't, you know, has a good attitude and all of those kinds of things. So I think learn how to be a really, really good boss of yourself. So that would be, I think, and boss is probably not the good word, but, you know, like, lead yourself. And I think the other thing is just that, and it kind of goes along with that, is that you have to be able to roll with the punches to a certain degree. And so when you're in the corporate world, and let's say that I'm working on selling a big project and I've got, you know, a $5 million deal I'm going to close, and at the last hour it all blows up. And now it's not going to happen. And that happens, right? And you're like, oh my God, I put all that work into that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And in my search business, that's very typical. Like, I could be, I could be doing everything I need to be doing. And now I've got not only my candidate, who's another human being that can change their mind on a, you know, an instant, right. A client who can come up with whatever they want on an instant, the client's company, who can decide what they want on, like, all of these like things that can happen. And now all of a sudden you're like, I always tell people, one thing not to do is don't start getting your calculator out and calculating deals you're closing. And it, you know, it's not over till it's over, but right. It's like, you have to know that frankly, you're going to lose some stuff. You're going to win some stuff and you're going to lose some stuff. And what I would always tell myself is, and I think it was my mentor, the older woman that was my mentor when I got into my search business, like, Jackie, if this was easy, don't you think everyone would be doing this? And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, if it was easy to do what I'm doing, than everyone would be because it pays really well and all, you know, all these things, right? So it's like always to say, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. I tell myself that all the time. Look, if this was easy, everyone would be doing it. Nothing doesn't take some work and doesn't take some understanding that you're going to have big deals that happen and you're going to have things that set you back, and being able to manage that, which comes back again to managing yourself, like to saying, you know what, Jackie, I know you put a lot of work into that. You did everything you could have possibly done. Yeah, it would have been a $30,000 fee. And yeah, there's a million bills you need to pay with that. But you know what? Before that deal was happening, there are a million other deal opportunities out there. And that's, instead of honing in on what didn't happen there, take the lessons learned and just move on to the next thing. And always remembering kind of like what I was saying about when this gal that I brought into the business left, and my business sort of like, and I mean, I wish her all the best. You know, she's amazing. And she worked so hard to achieve what she did. And so it's kind of like, okay, when you start over, you just give yourself that grace and you say, I've been here before. I've been at this point before I got to where I got to. So there's always a way to get to where you were and beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important what you pointed out too, of just giving yourself grace and compassion in this process of being your boss and being able to understand, okay, you maybe need to work a little harder today, but then take a few days off. But managing that and understanding that too. And we can't control outside factors and outliers, but we can control what we do and how we show up every day. And that's what I was gathering from those tips, because I think they're really important to remember for everybody that's on this journey, even if you're in the midst of it, because it can get really lonely. It can get really tough, but it's going forth, because we know that it's not easy, because every single person would be an entrepreneur if it was.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And because who wouldn't want to be their own boss? Who wouldn't want to have control of their own schedule? Who wouldn't want to have, you know, not everyone is cut out for this.
Correct.
I mean, that is absolutely true, that there are people that aren't cut out to be an entrepreneur, and that's okay. That's okay. What I would say to those people is fine, but if you're going to work, you know, for the man, if you're going to be in the corporate world, still find what you're passionate about. I did what I was passionate about for 10 years and then went, I'm not passionate about it anymore. I did what I was passionate about for another 10 years and then went, I'm not passionate anymore. You have to decide how much being excited about what you're doing really matters to you. And then you have to step out of that comfort zone to go do something different. And if that something different isn't necessarily starting your own business, it's just going to a different company and trying a different role or taking transferable skills into a new career path for yourself. I do a lot of career. I used to. I don't do as much of it anymore, but I did a lot of career coaching. Mm-hmm. And I would always tell people, look, you know, there people don't even understand how many skills that they have are so transferable. It took me, when I left the McGraw-Hill division that I worked for, I didn't have another job. And I was like, oh my God, maybe I was just good at that because I was there so long. I'd have to be an idiot to not be pretty good at it. Like, what if I don't know how to do anything else? What if I can't do anything else? Like, I just got better and better at that. And then I decided I was really good, but it was only out of just doing it over and over again. You know, like I started playing with my head about that. Then I got into the IT staffing world and started generating in a commission kind of structure, because in the HR role I was in, it didn't matter if I worked my butt off or if I barely did what I had to do just so I didn't get fired. I got paid the same amount of money. I didn't know what it looked like to come into a world where, wow, my efforts can result. I took a big pay cut when I went into the IT staffing industry. I dropped my base comp, went down 10 grand. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm an idiot. Like, and maybe I was just good at that, you know, all those things in my head. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, whoa, hold on. There's no ceiling on my income anymore. Like whatever I do, I can keep driving it to whatever level I want. Like that was a really powerful feeling. But even more powerful than that was the feeling that I could walk away and start over and go beyond where I was. And once you've done that once, you know you can do it again. I think that for people that step away, and maybe that made a difference for me from the entrepreneurial side, is that I did that with McGraw-Hill, and then I did that in the IT staffing world, and then I started my search business. So I had started over once. And so I felt more confident about starting over again. If you're stepping straight from the corporate world into starting your own business, that's going to be probably a little bit more daunting, right? Because you still have some of those feelings of, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, kind of a thing. And that's why I say to people, like in that workshop I went to where she said, her name is Barbara Scherer, and she said, dabble in it. Like, you know, you don't have to step completely away from what you're doing to test the waters in something else. So figure out, and again, reach out to somebody and say, hey, you know, I'm kind of interested in what you do or this industry that you're in. What would be really good ways that I could get exposure to this? I can't walk away from what I'm doing, but I'd like to know more about this, you know, and networking is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk absolutely. To people that are excited about what they do.
And that's what it's about. I think it's just taking action and making things happen. And that's what it starts with. You won't know until you try and put in the effort. But Jackie, I've been so enjoying this conversation. Where can people find you? We're going to link everything below, but if you can let us know too.
Yes, I have two passions in this business. One is to help everyone integrate CBD and hemp wellness products into their health and wellness regimen. And I do that through helping product match them, helping them determine the right dosage, if it's CBD or other cannabinoids, and then staying close to them as we're figuring out how they can get maximum benefit. So it's so cool because in this industry where people are just getting stuff off the shelf or online, they don't know what to do with it. That's the disconnect. So they have me as their advocate. I will give my link so that they can go in for that. And then the other side to that is that I am helping create other entrepreneurs. I'm helping people do what I do and be able to have the same kind of intrinsic reward feeling that I have, helping others feel and live better and helping others become entrepreneurs. So reach out to me on my Linktree is the best. It's linktr.ee/JaneAaron. And I'm sure you'll put it in the thing. And in there, there's different little sections. So there are some great videos to learn more about Green Compass and who the company is and why we're so special and different. And there's ways to link in to set up a Calendly appointment with me for help with products and integrating this into your health and wellness, or also to talk about the business if there's an interest in that. So I am here and excited to chat with anybody that wants to talk about anything, learn more. No expectations. I've helped people that aren't even using my products integrate the products that they have so that they can get the best benefit, hoping that maybe they'll at some point try ours. But my passion about this is bigger than just us or you know, just this company. So I am loving educating people and helping people integrate this stuff. And I love helping people start businesses. And this is direct sales is the best business model. It's like a franchise for $1 billion less than what you pay for a franchise. Everything's done for you. And you are just plugging in. And we have such an amazing system. And I'm here to coach these people and help them do what I do, which I love. I love doing that.
And you can tell. And I so appreciate you, Jackie, coming on, just sharing your insights of how you built your first business to now what you're doing as well. But I think it's so impressive and also just important of really being able to help people. And that's what I think a lot of us entrepreneurs are in it for, to help people and make the world a little bit brighter and better. But thank you again for just coming on and sharing all your insights with us today.
Absolutely. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Likewise.
We'll stay connected.
We will. We absolutely will. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.